every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, you are the shepherd of people everywhere. Please help me as I guide the flock that you have placed within my care. Keep me close to you. Lord, as I study, preach, and pray, so I may reach the lost and teach the lost to follow you. Father, as always, I decrease, you increase. Less of me, more of you. Lord, I need your precious Holy Spirit to give me power in preaching. Because it's in the anointing that yokes are destroyed. As always, we pray that you cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word from going forth. And when you would have finished with us on the day, you'll still be God, having all power, honor, and glory. We pray this prayer in the powerful, prolific name of our Christ, Christ of God. Every heart say amen. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. What a great day it is to be alive, alert, and active. For it is in him we live, move, and have our being. The Lord is above all, and all is beneath him. And he has the whole world in his hand. And as we would sing when I was a boy, Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I do trust that the Lord loves me, and I know he loves you too. And if he loves us, he'll take care of us. Praise his holy name. I'm just excited in my spirit, joyous in my heart, because the Lord is working things in our favor. See, this is a good time to hear Paul say in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. He's working it out. He's working it out. Don't fret. He's working it out. And it may seem like you're on the bottom, like you are losing. But don't break before the brink. He's working it out. Something good is coming out of this. Something marvelous is coming out of this. And I'm just going to hold on and run on to see what the end will be. John chapter 8, verse 12. It reads this way: Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus, dot, dot, dot. the light. You may be seated. Jesus, dot, 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 the light. My brothers and sisters, we started this year with Vision 2020. And our purpose in preaching is that we will see the Lord clearer. Amen. It is imperative for us to see Him clearer, yeah, and know Him. Because life is so uncertain. Right, sir. But Jesus is sure. I want us to see Him and know Him so that we can share Him. Because that's what God has called us to be heralds, to share the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. But I'm convinced that you can't share with others whom you don't know. And so the Lord has impressed this series of sermons upon my heart so that we could see Him, know Him, and share Him. By now, Jesus ought not be a stranger to us. We have been preaching Him since we've been here. He's been something beyond the dot, dot, dot. In other words, the Lord has filled in the blanks. And He has given us a perspective as to who Jesus is. Let me begin this particular preaching assignment by saying that life has challenges. So much so that we expect challenges. Life is full of challenges. One of the motivating forces of life is when a challenge is presented to men. Challenges either bring out the best of us or the worst of us. We are challenged. We're not only challenged by enemies, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ challenges us to be lights in a dark and decaying world. For the Gospel of John, he gives a revelation of Jesus, unlike the other three gospel writers. He doesn't start like Matthew's and Luke with the genealogy. He doesn't start like Mark, you know, with his perspective of Jesus, but he gives revelation. Because if you're going to share Him in the midst of challenges, you need to know Him. He needs to be uncovered, revealed to you. So when you open your mouth, you are talking with confidence, because when you know a thing, or when you know a person, you sure enough can talk about him. So John, he reveals Jesus. As I've read John, I've discovered that John can be divided into five parts. The pre-existence of Jesus. John chapter 1 through verse 1 through verse 18. But then it deals with the second part, Jesus' first year of ministry. John 1, 19 through chapter 4, verse 54. Jesus' popularity during the second year. John chapter 5. The opposition against Jesus in the third year of his ministry. John chapter 6. Verse 1 through chapter 12, verse 11. And the fourth of the 40 days following his resurrection in chapter 20, verse 21. The incident of John chapter 8 falls within the part of Jesus' ministry when he was opposed. When Jesus was opposed because he had religious enemies. John chapter 8 opens with Jesus having left the Mount of Olives and entered into the temple for a teaching session. While he was teaching, the scribes and Pharisees apprehended a woman caught up in adultery. She was caught in the very act. And they brought her into the temple where Jesus was teaching and set her right in the midst of the temple to interrupt Jesus's teaching session. But instead of their actions interrupting Jesus, it afforded him an opportunity to reveal himself to those he was teaching. You remember the story where Jesus said to them, you without sin, you cast the first stone. And even the scribes and Pharisees, being religious people, they dropped their stones and walked away silently. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the stone dropping ceremony didn't stop them from opposing Jesus. One thing about enemies don't stop because you shame them once or twice. They keep on coming. They keep coming. They keep coming because their desire is to shame you and discredit you like you are shaming them and discrediting them. So they continue to challenge Jesus. Jesus in the temple, and this particular text came up by way of an evening lighting ceremony. It was an evening lamp lighting ceremony that took place at the feast. During the ceremony, large lamps were lit and they filled every courtyard in the city. And while the lamps were being lit, there was great singing and dancing all evening in celebration of God's salvation. During the ceremony, Jesus said that he is the light of the world. Right in the midst of the lamp lighting ceremony, Jesus said, I am the true light. I am the light of the world. The world is saved because I'm here. He's the light of the world. That's where we get into verse 12. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, Then spake Jesus again. Then connects us with what was happening before, with what is about to happen. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. He says, this is wonderful to see these lights in the city. He says, but I'm a light in you. I'm a light inside of you. I'm the reason you are no longer walking in darkness. He says, I'm the one who has been sent from God to deliver you from darkness. I am the light of the world. Brothers and sisters, if you have time for me to indulge you with this particular verse, there are three things I want to share with you. And then I'll benedict. First of all, Jesus, in what he said in verse 12, he revealed himself as the person of light. Notice he says, I am the light. He spoke of himself as the light. In other words, he says, I am. I am. Two words, I am, is the self-revelation of himself. Jesus, in calling himself the light, expresses what he is in himself. He doesn't have to borrow light. He says, I am the light. He says, I'm the source of light. He reveals his divinity, his deity, in saying, I am the light. Now, first of all, Jesus said that he is the great I am. The great I am. This I am is the second of seven I am statements made in John's gospel. John chapter 6 verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. John chapter 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. John chapter 10 verse 11, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 11 verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. John chapter 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 15 verse 5, I am the vine. He says, I am. I am. He repeatedly says, I am. I am is the personal name of God in the Old Testament. Come here, Moses. Moses was minding his business, tending to his father-in-law's sheep. And while he was tending to his father-in-law's sheep, God summoned him by way of a burning bush. He noticed that the bush was on fire, but the bush was not being consumed. That'll get my attention. That'll get your attention. To see fire on a bush, but the bush not being consumed. And then on top of the burning of the bush, the voice of God came from the bush. Says, remove your shoes. You're standing on hallowed ground. Moses fell on his face. And God says, go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses said, well, if I go, who do I need to tell him sent me? God didn't give him a long, drawn out explanation of himself. He just gave him a few words. I am that I am. And listen, that's enough right there. He says, I am that I am. And here it is, Jesus in John chapter 8, just like he said in John chapter 6, and he will say in five other passages in John, he says, I am the one who sent Moses back to Egypt. I'm the God of the Old Testament. I'm the God who establishes a New Testament. I am that I am. So Jesus said he is the Lord God, Jehovah Yahweh. Jesus is God incarnated, God in the flesh, dwelling among men. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. That's why Paul in Philippians chapter 2 verses 9 through 11 says God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name that is above all name is Lord, which is equivalent to I am. He says, I am the light. But not only is he the great I am, but Jesus, the great I am, is the light of the world. The true light, the fountain of light, the light that enlightens every man. For John, the Revelator, in John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, records what seems to be a confusion as to who is the light. John was on the scene at the time, and people were excited about what John was preaching. And John's minister of baptism. And the Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. John himself says, I am not the light, but he is only a light bearer, a witness of the light. For John, he sets the record straight for all of us. I don't care how bright you are. I don't care how jubilant you are. I don't care how glad and happy you are. I don't care how you got it going on, uptown, downtown, you're not the light. I don't care how many people like you. I don't care how many people, love to hang out with you. You are not the light. I don't care how many people have come to know Jesus through your witness. You are not the light. I don't care how we preach. We are not the light. We are a light. Come here. You are a light. And that's what God wants you to be. He wants you to be a light. That's what he said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. You are a light of the world. A city that is set on and hill cannot be hid. There is no contradiction. Believers are lights of the Lord. The word light is the word foster, which denotes a luminary. Light, light giver. Jesus used the word light figuratively, a believer shining in the spiritual darkness of the world. In other words, the light that we are simply witnesses of Jesus, who is the light. I'm not the light. I am a light. It's kind of like riding a bike at dark. Car headlights on. And if the bike has reflectors, the light hits the reflectors to reveal to the driver of the vehicle with the headlights on that there's a bike. That's what we are. We are reflectors. We are reflectors of the light. It's what the moon does with the light of the sun. The moon glows. It only reflects the light of the sun. So the sun gives the light, and the moon just reflects. So Jesus is the sun. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. And we are sons, children of God. And the capital S-O-N shines on the lowercase S-O-N and gives us the ability to reflect his light so that the world might see. Jesus is the light of lights. The person of light is Jesus. But not only do we see the purpose of the person, we see the purpose of the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he says, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. Light of the world. Jesus came into the world to give light. It is revealed in Genesis chapter 1. Because we see in Genesis chapter 1, the world without God is dark, null and void. The Bible says it was dark, and God sent the Spirit to hover over the earth. And nothing happened until God said, let there be light. Jesus reveals to us that the world without him is dark. And darkness is used to symbolize distress, mourning, perplexity, ignorance, and death. It is Isaiah, in Isaiah 9 verses 1 and 2 says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievous afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelled in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Darkness is used figuratively of moral depravity. Jesus is saying to us, without him, we're dark. We're dead. Life is empty, shallow, and without meaning. We live without him in ignorance of the true meaning of life, of the true purpose in which we were created. He says, he came to deliver us from moral depravity. That's why he said in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness. Men love moral depravity rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproved them. Back up to Ephesians chapter 2, he reveals to us all of our past life. He says, you who were once dead, trespasses and sin, he has quickened, made us alive. He brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter, that we once had our conversations in darkness, but he brought us out. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be out. I'm glad to be in the light. When we were in the world, we really thought we had it going on. Going from place to place, club to club, joint to joint, person to person. We thought we had it going on. We were hung up and addicted to what we consider a good time. But we didn't know at the time that that particular good time was really a bad time, because we were in darkness. Oh, but I thank God for Jesus. Because listen, there's no place Jesus can't reach you. You can be right in the midst of the dance floor. And Jesus can come right in the midst of all of that loud music. And all of that juking and booking. And touch you. And shine light on you. Come here, Paul. Y'all looking at me strange. Paul was right in the middle of his mess. He was on his way to Damascus. He had his mind made up. He had his heart fixed, until Jesus shined the light on him from heaven and he fell from his beast. You can be right in the middle. Of your mess. Right in the middle of your darkness. And Lord, the Lord can shine light. Listen, it's not that we came to the light as much as it is the light came to us. Because we didn't want to quit. Had to pull us out with chains and cables. Talk to me, somebody. He came right in the midst. His purpose of coming is to shine light in darkness. See, the world is dark. It is dark. It is darkness of life. It is darkness in mindset. It is darkness in behavior. It is darkness in lifestyle. It is darkness in speech. Just think about how dark the world is. The world's darkness is seen in murder, theft, war, oppression, sexual abuse, suicide, divorce, pornography, filthy talk, adultery, physical and verbal abuse, lies, disease, sickness, injustice, darkness. This world is not fair, because this world is dark. This world doesn't have your best interests, because the world's system is dark. And so Jesus came to deliver us from spiritual blindness. Don't miss me. All of us were blind to the things of God. Paul, as Saul, he was blind after he saw the light. Scales was on his eyes. And he was given specific instructions to go on down to the street of straight and talk to Ananias, and he will speak the word, and the scales will come from your eyes. We were blind like blind Bartimaeus. We were sitting on the side of the road begging for alms. Heard a crowd roaring the name Jesus. And we said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Told us to get up. We took off our outer garment, went running. And Jesus healed us of our spiritual blindness. We couldn't see. Darkness blinded us. I'm from the country. And where I'm from, some years ago when I was a boy, we didn't have street lights. And the darkness was so dark, it was thick. Like you could literally reach out and touch it. Couldn't see. At best, on a full moon night, made traveling easy. But if it was a new moon, totally blacked out moon, so dark, if you had white teeth and smile, nobody could see you. Riding in a car together, looking back, talking, couldn't even see the eyes. The people talking with you. That's how blind we were. Couldn't see. But thanks be to God, he opened our eyes. And we can see. But not only did he come to deliver us from spiritual dark blindness, he came to deliver us from spiritual bondage. You know, we were enslaved to Satan. Spiritual bondage means a state of being a spiritual slave. It refers to that which keeps us from being fully committed to the lordship and power of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to lead us out of spiritual bondage. Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7 says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sat in darkness out of the prison house. We were shackled. We were in chains spiritually. We were enslaved. We were under the dictatorship of Satan. But thanks be to God for Jesus. Thanks be to God that Jesus came right at the nick of time. And as the preacher of old would say, he picked me up, turned me around, and placed my feet on solid ground. Thanks be to God. He didn't come a moment too soon and a minute too late. He came right on time and saved me. That's good news. That's something to praise him about. That's something to rejoice about. That Jesus didn't leave us in our mess. He didn't leave us in the madness. He didn't leave us in the darkness. He didn't leave us on the way to death. He picked us up and turned us around and placed us on a path of life. I see the person of light, the purpose of light, but then notice the promise of the light. He says, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness. Now notice the promise is made to those who follow him. It is not enough to look upon the light
or gaze at the light, we must follow the light. So he says, follow, follow, follow. It's like headlights instead of taillights. Follow the light. I was reading the book a few years ago about the living word by Blackaby. And he was talking about the importance of memorization of scripture, memorizing scripture. He says, if you memorize 10 verses of the Bible, it's like walking in darkness with a flashlight. But if you memorize 100, it's like sitting in a car at night with the headlights on. But if you memorize 1,000 verses, it's like sitting in a stadium with all of the lights on all the time. He says, if we accept Jesus, here it is, we shall not walk in darkness. There are no dark places. Thank you, Lord. That my life is always lived in the light. Listen, I don't care what I'm going through. It's a light moment. I don't care how, you know, tough things get. It's a light moment because I'm always walking in his light. Following him. Following him. He says, we walk in the light. Come here, Georgia Mass Choir. They sung a song, walking in the light. And they would say in the first chorus, walk in the light, beautiful light. Ain't it wonderful how the light shines? Got the chorus too. They said, trusting in the light, beautiful light. Ain't it wonderful how the light shines? Chorus three, joy in the light. Beautiful light, ain't it wonderful how the light shine? Chorus four, they said, Jesus is the light. Beautiful light, ain't it wonderful how the light shine? Y'all didn't get it, so let me go over it again. They said, walking in the light. Chorus one says, walking in the light. Beautiful light, ain't it wonderful how the light shines? Chorus two, trusting in the light. Beautiful light, ain't it wonderful how the light shines? Chorus three, rejoice in the light. Beautiful light, ain't it wonderful how the light shines? Then they went on and revealed to us just who the light is. They didn't say the light is Rogers. They didn't say the light is Wells. They didn't say the light is McLean. They didn't say the light is McCoy. The light is Pope. They said the light is Jesus. And you can walk in Jesus. You can trust in Jesus. You can have your joy in Jesus, because Jesus is beautiful light. I thank God for Jesus. Jesus, Mary's baby. Jesus, the bright and morning star. Jesus, lily in the valley. Jesus, the rose of Sharon. Jesus, grandmama's walking cane. Jesus, my way out of no way. Jesus, my kinsman redeemer, Jesus, my joy in the times of sorrow, Jesus, my elder brother, Jesus, God's only begotten and begotten son. Farewell, New Bethlehem. I'm walking in Jesus because Jesus, he is the light. The light came from heaven and landed in a dark place called Bethlehem. The light tabernacle for 33 and a half long years, and finally the light was rested in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the light kept on shining. The light was marched from judgment hall to judgment hall, but the light kept on shining. Satan thought he could put out the light. So one Friday after the first night of judgment, they march him up the Via Dolorosa and say, I know how to put out the light. If I nail the light hands to the cross, and if I nail his feet to the cross, surely the light will go out. If I put a crown of thorn on light's head, light will blow a fuse and go out. But little did he know that light shines better in darkness. They nailed his hand on Calvary's cross. They nailed his feet 3 hours in the light and 3 hours in the dark. And when the earth became dark, the light shined at his best. They thought they could put him out and discourage the people, saying there is no hope in Jesus. But one thing they forgot, that the light said that if you lift me up and set me high, I'll draw men. Jesus was hung high on the cross. He died out on Calvary's cross. They took the light from the cross, put the light in a borrowed tomb, and they thought that the light was over with until Sunday morning came. I thank God for Sunday morning, because Sunday morning in a dark place, Sunday morning when the rock was in front of the rock, Sunday morning there was an angel dispatched to move the rock from the rock so that the light of the world could shine through the rock. Ain't the Lord all right? Jesus is our way out. Jesus is our way over. And Jesus is our way through. Let me say that again. Jesus is our way out. He's our way over. And he's our way through. I'm through with you now. I thank God for Jesus. That Calvary couldn't stop him. The grave couldn't hold him. And now that he's at the right hand of the Father, he shines. He shines. He shines. He shines. And let me ask you one question. Ain't he all right? Yeah. 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 He'll make you run. Nobody behind you. He'll make you laugh. ain't nothing funny. He'll make you cry. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Let me ask you one more time. Ain't he all right? I said, ain't he all right? Say, yeah! The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know him today. In your heart. In your soul. He comes to deliver. He comes to set free. He wants you free. He wants you released from sin slavery. Satanic strongholds. Light has penetrated darkness. And light always wins over darkness. Listen, we have victory in Jesus. And I just want to encourage your hearts as you listen to me. Jesus Christ, the light. He's the great I am. He's God with us. He's Emmanuel. He has not left us or forsaken us. Even in the midst of this pandemic, the light is bright. And this, hear me when I say, this pandemic is not putting out the light. Jesus is still God with us. And he still has the power to overcome spiritual wickedness, satanic attack, satanic opposition. But the question is, have you made him your Lord and Savior? If you're listening to me today, please do that by simply acknowledging your sins, acknowledging him as the Son of God, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and believing in your heart that he died for your sins, and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Listen, he wants you saved. He wants you saved. We want you saved. We want you to be a part of a church, a body of Christ, a local assembly, so you can be taught. You can hear preaching and teaching on a regular basis. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Secondly, if you are watching and you need to be restored, this sermon has cut you to the core, has cut you deeply, because you know you're not where you used to be with the Lord. The Lord is married to the backslider. He will forgive you for any sin that you have committed and love you as though you have never sinned. Just simply say to him that you want your closeness, your intimacy back with him. And he'll do it. He'll do it. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart, please write us and inform us of your decision to be a part of what God is doing through the New Bethlehem Baptist Church in Bessemer. We would love to hear from you. And if we hear from you, I will write you back personally to encourage your heart,
to stick and stay with the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. We pray for all of the members of New Bethlehem. We love you dearly. We miss you dearly. But again, two words: be prayerful and patient. And this too shall pass. He's going to bring us back together. He's going to bring us back together soon. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being a part of our virtual worship. We encourage you to give. Continue in your giving so we can reach the masses for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what ministry is. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we pray and benedict. Father in heaven, we thank you again today for the power of your word. That your word pierces through to our hearts. Pierces through to our inner being. And divides the soul and spirit. Thoughts and intentions. So Father, have your way in us and through us. Use us as reflectors to reflect your word, to reflect your son Jesus in the earth. I pray for everyone who's watching. I speak blessings over them and your safekeepings. Strengthen them in their minds, bodies, and souls. Now, Father, as we make ready to leave this place, never your divine presence. We pray that your grace and mercy and the love of Jesus Christ will rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Be with us, O Father, until we meet again, until you call us from these mundane shores to rest in the pleasantries of your presence, where there will be no need for the sun, the S-U-N, to shine, because the face of the S-O-N will be the light thereof. Thank you for a prepared place. Prepare us as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.